Good evening. Thank you all for sharing a beautiful service this evening. I want to thank our choir for singing so beautifully. They did it last night and the other hymns. And to thank our Thomas, Nick, and Archie for singing so beautifully tonight and throughout the week. The theme of the service tonight is repentance. And as I explained Sunday in my sermon, and sort of the theme I want to make for this week is unraveling the mysteries, if you will, of the things of our church. You even heard it quoted in the gospel today that he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they cannot see with their eyes or perceive with their hearts and turn for me to heal them. And I quoted that scripture from another place in my sermon Sunday, that to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others there are parables, so in seeing they don't see, in hearing they don't understand. And so one of the parables, the things that's hard to get our minds and our hearts around, is the concept of repentance. What is repentance? We have examples throughout the Bible and throughout church history of great stories of repentance. One of those stories we heard a couple weeks ago when we commemorated St. Mary of Egypt. That's the fifth Sunday of Lent. Every year is St. Mary of Egypt. And St. Mary of Egypt lived her early life as a prostitute. And one day she went into the temple to worship, or whatever, to enter the temple anyway, and something prevented her from entering the temple. A power prohibited her from entering the temple. And she realized, I have been cut off from God, not because God has cut me off, but because I have cut me off. And she withdrew into the desert for many, many, many years, and lived alone. And every day said, God, forgive me. God, have mercy on me. And God took that sinful woman's life because of her repentance and his mercy. And she's one of the greatest saints of our church. But if you examine her life, and she was 20 or 25 years old, she was among the worst people society. And God can take that kind of life and can turn it into a saintly life, but you have to work in tandem with God. There had to be repentance on the part of Mary, and we know there is mercy on the part of God. St. Peter, we will hear in the gospel lesson on Thursday night, denied the Lord not once, not twice, but three times. After God told him he was going to do that, he warned him, this is what's going to happen. And Peter said, no way is that going to happen. And then it happened. And Peter came back in repentance. And Jesus gave to him the keys of the kingdom and said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God built the rock of his church on top of a sinful man who was repentant. And then we have stories of other people who did not repent. Like Judas, one of the disciples, one of the inner circle, one of the Lord's friends, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And one of my favorite poems, it's very short, says, still as in days of old, man himself sets his own price. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas sold himself, not the price. And the mistake that Judas made was not that he betrayed the Lord. After all, we betray the Lord all the time. The mistake that he made was when he realized that he made a mistake. Instead of coming back to the Lord in repentance, he quit. He gave up. He thought God could not possibly have mercy on him, and he went out and killed himself. God can have mercy and forgive anybody. But the thing is, we have to work in tandem with God. We have to make that journey back. We have to put the hand up to God in the sea, as St. Peter did when he was drowning, and said, "Lord, help me." We don't even have to go halfway. As you see in the night of the resurrection, Jesus raising up Adam and Eve, and there's a very important feature painted into the icons of the resurrection, that Adam and Eve don't even have the strength to meet the Lord by grabbing his hand. They reach up, and the Lord grabs them by the wrist, and he pulls them out of Hades. But there has to be some effort. There has to be some effort to raise your hand and say, "I need help. I'm drowning in my life, in my sins." And then God can work in tandem with you. It takes both parties. So as we continue our journey through Holy Week, and this is the last night in the Holy Week journey where Jesus is preaching to us, all the remaining services are action services, where we are reading now the account of the Passion, the Death, and the Resurrection of Christ. Today is the last night of the preaching of Christ to us. So as we make this journey through the rest of Holy Week, and we turn our focus now on the rapid series of events that will happen over the next 4 days, we have to come with some sense of, where am I in my personal relationship with Christ? Christ is the Almighty God. He's not our friend. He's not our buddy. He's not a concept out there. He's not a construct. He's not a moral code. He's not any of these things that we make him. He is Almighty God. And if any one of us were to stand next to the Almighty God, that would be like a human being standing next to Niagara Falls. Insignificant in the presence of God. How can we dare stand before God? The only way we can stand before God is to say, "God, be merciful to me, because I'm insignificant in front of you." And if we can muster the courage to say that, and really mean it, and really live it, then we know that God will put his arms around us and say, "Come and enter into the kingdom," as he did for St. Peter, as he did for St. Mary of Egypt. But we work in tandem. God has already said, "I extend my hand to you." So God made the first move, and the next move is ours. Please, Lord, forgive me. Please strengthen me. Please have mercy on me, and please accept me. This is what repentance is, to realize how we stand in relation to God, and to realize that we all miss the mark at times, and to go back to God and say, "I'll try harder, I'll make a new start." And thank God this Holy Week provides us an opportunity to do just that. The service that we will hold tomorrow, the emphasis of that service is on personal healing. While the community will gather to pray over holy oil and consecrate it into holy unction, we will all have an individual encounter in this sacrament with the priest representing Christ, anointing us with the oil of the Lord for the healing of soul and body. So when you come tomorrow, and as you go through your day tomorrow, think how you're going to come here tomorrow night. Come with a heart that's soft. Come with a heart that's open. Come with a heart that brings to mind the things in your life that need healing. And come and kneel and pray for God to heal those things. Tomorrow we'll hold many services here in the church. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock is the last of the pre-sanctified liturgies of the church year. At 9 o'clock, the gospel reading of that service is very short, but it's the account of Judas betraying the Lord, which is also why we fast on the Wednesdays of the year, in addition to Fridays. That's the day that the Lord was betrayed. We remember that in the morning. In the afternoon at 3 o'clock, There is the service of Holy Unction, which is offered primarily for children. If you have young children, bring them to the 3 o'clock service. But if you don't have young children, don't use the 3 o'clock service as an opportunity to get out of the night service and have a night off. For those who have come to the afternoon and the night services, you know that the afternoon service is chaotic by nature. It's full of a lot of children who are impatient. But we know that in the night service, there are virtually no children here. And not that children are a bad thing. We love our children. I love my child. But in the night, when we come, it's very quiet. It's very somber. It's very reflective. And in many years, the Holy Wednesday night service has been the most moving service of the week. It's the service where we sit and we think about our own hurts and prepare to receive some healing for them. So I encourage you to come to the service at night, the unction service at 7 o'clock. And that service will be preceded by the last bridegroom service of the year. There's actually a bridegroom service for Wednesday night. In most churches, it's been suppressed because we do Holy Unction at night. But the service of the bridegroom on Wednesday night is where we hear the gospel of the Last Supper. And so for those who are trying to come every night, and you cannot come in the mornings because you have work, we hear the gospel of the Last Supper Thursday morning. But if you're coming every night, come tomorrow at 6 so you can hear the gospel of the Last Supper and you get the whole narrative of the Passion Week sort of in context. So 6 o'clock the bridegroom and 7 o'clock will be unction service. May God bless you and keep you. Thank you for sharing a wonderful evening.